Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I still can't clap on the right beat with that music.
One of these days.
One of these days. Yesterday, I was practicing clapping on the back beat.
Oh, man.
Not
I have to get
long.
You into some percussion methods classes.
Someday. Someday.
Maybe. Or not. I don't know.
Do you clap along with that?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. I can't sit still, so I'm just...
Clapping along
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
How many listeners clap along with it? How many?
I hope all of them. Well, unless they're driving. That would be dangerous. Don't clap while you're driving.
You don't
please.
Clap when you... I like drive clap. Like
oh, I
clap
guess you could like tap on your steering wheel. Yeah, that would be a lot safer.
Hey, let us know. Send us an email. coffee@kfuo.org. Or...
Tweet us a video or something. That would
tweet.
Be fun.
Tweet at KFUO
or
Radio.
Instagram. Tag us in your Instagram video.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Hey, if you got your KFUO gear yet, hashtag
yeah.
KFUO love is what you want to tag
yeah.
it as. Send us, you know, post a picture with your KFUO gear. Maybe you joined us for Shareathon and got your KFUO t-shirts. I know those are coming out. Those
yeah.
are...
Mary's been busy.
Yeah, those are going out in the mail. And going all around the country. And speaking about going around the country, some busy folks in Texas. Pastor Ted Dering, Narrative Church in Georgetown, Texas. It's Round Rock. That's what, just outside of Austin. Pastor Dering, thanks for joining us this morning on the Coffee Hour. Welcome back. This is your second time on the Coffee Hour.
This is the second time, and I've planned everything so that nothing will go wrong.
So nothing went wrong last time.
Yeah, about that.
It was fantastic. It was
really fun.
Those were what I call elements of authenticity.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Which millennials
like
love.
That. I like that. It's true.
Elements of authenticity for the listener who didn't hear Pastor Dering's first interview with us. That was like the inaugural week of the Coffee Hour, I believe.
Week or two, yeah. It was really early.
While we were talking, let's see, all kinds of things were happening in the Dering household. The doorbell was ringing. I think the dog was.
Yeah,
was
the dog was barking around. Yeah. I was trying to put him away because we don't get a lot of cold here in Central Texas. But when we do, it goes from, you know, a nice, you know, we'll call it 60, 50 to all of a sudden, you know, not what you guys have up there, but cold for us down here in the 20s.
That's
and,
cold.
Our heater went out. And so I desperately needed the guy to come and I needed to put the dog away. And that was right as you guys were calling. And it made for, and I'm running up and down the steps. So I'm trying not to, you know, heave in and out of the phone as we're talking. So it was enjoyable.
It was very exciting. It makes for very shareable content on Twitter. People love it.
It does.
That's what I'm here for.
Authenticity. Authenticity. That's what I'm chalking it up to that.
There you go. So you're in the Austin area at Narrative Church, and this was a church plant for you. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we came down here straight out of seminary, my wife and I, and we were called by Faith Lutheran Church in Georgetown to plant a church. And so I spent a little bit of time on staff at Faith. They had a really good plan. They called me the church planter in residence. So they gave me a chance to get my feet under me. Acclimate to the community and life here. And so it started off, I was 75% basically an associate pastor at Faith, 25% of my time spent towards planting. And then those numbers started shifting throughout that first year. So we went 75-25, 50-50, and then 75-25 the other way. And then over the summer of 2015, we brought a group together. We started meeting as a small group Bible study, and then we launched as a worshiping community in October of 2015.
Wow. Now, doing this right out of seminary, was that something that you had kind of planned on doing, or was this a whole new venture for you?
It was something through our time together, my wife and I had always prayed and hoped and said, Lord, in our future, you know, we would be up for this if you bring us to it. And as we were coming into our final year at seminary, we let the seminary know that this would be something we'd be interested in. And we thought where God leads us, we'll go. So we had a couple great different places, and this ended up being a really a good place to be. And my wife and I, Faith is my wife's home church, and I grew up in Houston. She grew up in this area of Austin. And so coming back to Texas was a little bit of home for us. Not a little bit, it was home. And But what we said is that the way faith had prepped and gotten ready and was planting, we said, you know, had this call been anywhere else, we would have wanted it because of how it was being done. So for us, that gave us some peace of mind, and really to get that call and have a church call us and to say, hey, this isn't just us wanting to go home. This is God's been preparing this, and now this church is giving us that call to do it. And so that was the process for how we did it.
Tell me about the process or the steps, the way you went about beginning a new Word and Sacrament ministry in mm-hmm. this community in Georgetown.
Well, the number one thing is to look and say, I'm going to make mistakes. And we talk a lot about failing forward. And it's not like a lot of big failures, but it's a lot of experimentation. It's a lot of learning. Even the name, as we were getting ready to name it, that was, you know, not something a lot of people talk about. How do you name a church? How do you get those things going? But the process for us was I came into Faith, and the leadership and the pastors at Faith were so good about saying, listen, we're behind you in this mission. We want to help you, so you can ask anyone in our congregation to join you. They gave me, they called it a fishing license. I was allowed to come in and ask anyone to come join me. And so we had our core team was made up of folks from the community and then folks from Faith, some really incredible people, some great leaders who Faith said, yeah, no, we want to bless and send those people. And so what we did was we started meeting just around saying, okay, what does it mean to be a church? What are those important things? What are our core values? What do we think locally here God has called us to? You know, every church has the same mission, and it all comes down to saying, how does that happen then in your neighborhood, in your area? And so we started off just talking about those things and reading scripture around those things, and we spent the summer of 2015 kind of, we talked about it in two different areas. We had our spiritual life, how were we growing together as the body of Christ? But then we also had our organizational side because, you know, we had to buy a sound system and we had to buy, you know, all the kind of random things that you just walk into a church and are there, you know, pens and note cards and all those kinds of things. And so what we did was we spent time together as a smaller group and just kept inviting folks in. We did some preview worship services to show people what it would be like, both for people in the community, but also for our team, because we meet in a middle school. So every week we pull up a trailer, we unload it, we set everything up, and then we tear it back down and take it back out. So we spent time in the summer of 2015 just saying, this is what worship is for us. And we explained what worship is. We know in our Lutheran heritage, we have this very deep, rich understanding of worship. But when you have people from the community who may not be Lutheran, who may not understand that, we wanted to slow down and talk about those things and say, hey, here's why we're doing this every week. Here's why we think this is important. And we've had some really good connection to those elements as we've gone forward. And then October 2015, we said, all right, we're going to be here every week. And that's what we called our launch day, was saying, this is when we say, week in, week out, we're here.
So it's been a few years now since that mm-hmm. launch. What is there the most exciting thing that's happened for you in this time, or one of the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome in this time period that's really been influential mm-hmm. on the direction that you've been taking?
I think the biggest challenge is growth in my own leadership in saying, God's got us. There's no doubt in my mind we wouldn't be here without His provision and His leading. And I can feel, you know, coming straight out of seminary, you quickly get those rose-colored glasses just knocked off. And but that was good for me. And so it's been a lot of me learning, how do I encourage people? How do I both lead as a pastor and spend those times with people in the hard times and the good times? But then also, how do I encourage them to more? How do I, you know, for us, it's saying we have to have people here to help set up and tear down. And mm-hmm. how do I ask those questions? And so that's been, I think, one of the biggest challenges for me, and the biggest excitement is I would go to my grave saying I have some of the best, if not the best, people in the world doing this alongside me. I have some folks who were DCEs for 20 years and now in their retirement have stepped in and are basically doing the work of full-time folks as a labor of love to help us plant this church. I have amazing people who have come along and joined us. And so for me, it's getting to see baptisms of grandchildren and then of their parents that grandma and grandpa had brought them, saying we really want them in a church. And now we see, you know, whole families from grandma and grandpa to grandkids to brothers and sisters coming in. And that's been really exciting for us. And it's just been such a joy to be a part of that process.
That is exciting. And I also didn't know that DCEs could retire after 20 years. So that's great news.
Oh, no. I should have said they were in the Texas district for 20 years.
Oh.
Sorry, Andy.
I was like, 20 years? That's all we have? Wow. And then after that, I can volunteer and do... Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I love what I do as a DCE.
I apologize.
No. That was great.
They're on their long vacation. They won't hear this and give me a hard time about it.
What a blessing to have, you know, a great team who's committed to the word and wants that word to flourish in your community. Pastor Ted Deering, pastor at Narrative Lutheran Church, Narrative Church in Georgetown, Texas. Thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that is exciting. Now I'm intrigued. I want to know more. I think we need to have Pastor Deering back for another conversation, because as he was talking about that narrative of teaching what is the worship, what is divine service, and especially to those who come from a different background, I want to know more about that, how that process has gone. But that does it for the Coffee Hour today. Tomorrow is Ascension.
It is Ascension.
We're going to talk about Ascension.
We are.
And we're going to share our recent visit with some high school students. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.